All right. Welcome back. We are now on we're still on part two of the Money Breakthrough Virtual Day Intensive. We've gone over money loves understanding, and we've done the roots of money exercise and the relationship with money exercise. And then we went over the second principle, which is money does not land in chaos. And we talked about the first part of chaos that you've got to get clear on, which is what your necessity, your desired living, and your ideal living worksheets are. Now we're still on money does not land in chaos, but now we're going to be talking about managing your money, managing your debt, your investments, and your spending for the next part of this hour. So I want to check in with you and see how did it go? Any questions about starting? I know you probably didn't have enough time to create your full numbers, but any questions or thoughts about creating your money numbers? Okay. Good. I always like to give it a couple minutes just in case people are on mute. But I'm going to go ahead and move forward. So I'm going to go back into lecture mode here. And we're going to go into debt as well as spending and investing in yourself and in your business. So one of the first things I'd like to talk about is talking about debt in general. So I get a lot of business owners who I talk to, you know, hundreds of business owners. And what's interesting is one of the concepts that people really misunderstand is that you have to spend money to earn money, right? So in the olden days, when you started a business, you would go to the bank, you would get a loan, and from that loan, you would start the business, right? When we were going through the internet boom, people would start businesses by getting funding from private investors or from venture capitalists or from angel investors or from private equity firms. Or, you know, the good old-fashioned way is to just get a loan from friends and family to start a company. But what I find now is that a lot of business owners just assume they could go into business and that somehow overnight they're going to be able to make enough money to support themselves, to invest in themselves, and to invest in the business without having any sort of capital to start with. And so I like to point out that having a bit of debt in your business in order to start your business is completely okay and in a lot of cases totally necessary for you to be able to get yourself off the ground. Now, one of the ways that I recommend that that people get money in order to start a business what I love to do and have been doing for years is every year I'll get an interest-free credit card, and I will put things on that credit card like business training or, an investment in my company if I need to hire someone to create a product or a website. Usually the interest-free cards last for about 12 months. And the one thing that I know for certain whenever I make the investment is that I'm going to be able to pay it off within that 12 months. So what often happens as a business owner is that you don't necessarily have a money bringing in problem. You have a cash flow timing problem. Like you haven't learned enough yet to bring in all your clients or you haven't done enough work yet to bring in all your clients and you will the next 3 to 6 months and you'll be able to pay it off. So I just want to suggest that for those of you who are looking for a way to be able to spend a little bit more in your business, but you don't have the cash flow right now to be able to cover it. Now, I also want to talk a bit about making decisions about money in your business in terms of what to spend and what not to spend. So whenever you're deciding on, let's say there's a couple big areas that people spend money in their business. One is investing in training programs or business development programs. And what I would say for that is if you're going to spend money on any sort of business development program or training program, you should have a plan for yourself to make that money up, to make up the investment within 1 to 2 years of finishing that program. about 90% of the time, it's up to you to do that. So, for example, I am taking a really amazing program just for the fun of it in my health division on functional medicine right now. And I said to myself, okay, if I'm going to spend this amount of money, you know, taking this program, and so let's say the program, you know, the program is about $1,000, right? I said to myself before I started the program, regardless of whether I want to do this forever or not, I'm going to pick up at least 3 clients to make sure that I pay the return on investment back for that program, as well as make a little extra money based on that program. So what that's called is planning, right? Planning for yourself how many clients you want or what activities you want in order to get a return on that investment. And you want to, and most, it is mostly 90% of the time, it's me, right? It's me that's going to be disciplined to do that, to take what I'm learning from that program and input it into my current clients or find new clients to do that with. It's also my responsibility to make sure that during the course of the program, I ask enough questions and involve myself enough that I understand exactly how to do that, right? That I understand how to get those clients. And I find that those are the two biggest mistakes that people make when they invest in business training or any sort of personal development training, whether it be yoga training or Reiki training or, you know, NLP or anything that you're thinking about, is that you don't go in with a plan. So you're not really thinking about how are you going to make the money back for yourself. And, you know, what's interesting is even aside from making the money back, by engaging yourself in the program and knowing that you want to get clients from it, you're going to learn more from it. And then the second big mistake they make is because they don't have a plan, they don't actually engage themselves fully in the program. So they don't ask questions, they don't figure out how to use it. So by the time the end of the program comes, they're not really equipped to be able to get a return on investment on it. So again, you want to make a plan. And you also want to engage yourself fully in the program. And the third step, which is important as well, is that you want to do your research on the program, right? And make sure that it's something that other people, right, have gotten their money back from or that you feel is appropriate for you to do, right? And, you know, there are things that you're going to do that are just for the fun of it. I'm not saying you're going to do this for everything. You know, if you love meditation and you just want to learn it for yourself, great, go do that. You don't need to make money from it. But this is for those things where you're considering investing in it, you're considering buying it. The other thing to remember is make sure that you are not investing in training programs or personal development programs simply because you're running away from making money in your business. I see this all the time. Right? So people don't actually want to do initial sessions. They don't want to do their sales. So they tell themselves, oh, what I'd rather do is go learn more because then if I learn more, I'll be able to do the sales better. Right? Just make sure you're not, be realistic with yourself about why you're taking a specific program. The second big category that people spend money on in their business is support. Right? So hiring somebody to do your website, hiring somebody to write your copy for you, hiring someone to support you, you know, answer calls, hiring someone to do your search engine optimization. What I would suggest is that you always do your research before you pick your providers. Because, again, another big mistake I see business owners making is they will pick the first person that comes to them and offers to help them. Or they'll go with the service without looking into it. So I had one client, and her web builder offered to host her email, right? And without even researching it, she said yes. And it turned out that she was paying 3 times as much as, like, a GoDaddy, a regular hoster for email, because she didn't do the research into it. And I'm not saying you need to spend hours doing this kind of research, but you should always just check your, you know, honor your money, do your research before you say yes to spending it on any particular service provider. And for those of you that are in this program with me, you know, which all of you are and you're my clients, check with me, right? I've been around. I know how much things cost, right? Before you spend money on anything, including another training program, check with me about it so that we can make sure it's appropriate for you so that we can honor your money. The other, you know, and another example of that is, one of my clients had a designer design her business cards. And the designer said, do you want me to print them for you? And she said, yes. And she ended up spending $350 to print 1,000 business cards, right? I just spent $30 on an internet site to print 1,000 business cards. Now, I'm sure her cards are more beautiful and more high quality, but she's at a point in her business where $350 could have easily been used for something much more important than getting beautiful, you know, high quality paper printed business cards, right? So you just want to get savvy, right, about honoring and respecting what you're spending your money on so that you can actually spend it on, because I would much rather, you know, have had her spend $300 on getting herself 6 massages than spending it on the business cards, right? So, you know, it's not even so much that you need to spend it on other things in your business. I just want you to spend that money on you. The other major category that you're going to be thinking about, you know, spending on are things for yourself. Things like restaurants and food and that kind of thing. And that's where I want to kind of move into the next, the exercise on that is titled General Spending and Living Tips. So it's on page 12, of the document. So we skipped the debt exercise. We're going to go back to that here in a second. But, I just want to go over this general spending and living tips section. So, for those of you that have your credit card statements, I want you to pull them out, and I want you to randomly choose 5 transactions from your statement. So I'm just going to give you a couple minutes to do that. Go ahead and just randomly choose 5 transactions from either if you have one of your statements or a couple of your statements in front of you. Okay, so you should have circled, you know, 5 transactions. Now, there's when you're spending your money, and this is just energetically what's going on with you and your money, you're either adding to your net worth or depleting your net worth, and it's different for everybody. So my bet is that the majority of women on this call aren't going out and depleting their net worth by doing shopping sprees every month, right? But there may be things that you're spending money on that aren't actually in your own best interest. And the reason you're spending that money is because it's coming from a place of fear or worry or anxiety or fatigue. And what is interesting to get clear on is when you spend your money, always ask yourself, is this adding or taking away from my net worth? So when I did this exercise, one of my big ahas was food, actually. And what I realized is that there were times when I went out to eat where it was adding to my net worth in the sense that it felt really good. I would go out with friends or I'd go out with family or with my partner and we'd have a really nice meal and we'd enjoy ourselves. We'd get a bottle of wine and it would be a lovely evening. And there were times when I was spending money on food and it was depleting my net worth because I was tired and I was getting junk food, or I was angry or frustrated, and I would just order food at 9 o'clock at night because I'd been working too hard all day, right? And when I started to look at how much of this is adding to my net worth and how much of it is depleting to my net worth, I realized that there was about a 20% of my restaurant eating out percentage that was actually depleting my net worth. Why was it depleting my net worth? Because what was really going on is that I was working way too hard. I wasn't preparing healthy, good food for myself. I was tired, and then I was spending money on food that wasn't healthy because I just didn't have the energy to even think about it. And how was that depleting my business? Well, if I'm working too hard, I'm not any good to all of you, right? If I'm burnt out, I can't pass my light on to you, right? So I started to, it really got me thinking about when you're putting your card down, when you're buying things, are you helping yourself or are you hurting yourself? So go ahead and do this analysis for yourself and ask yourself this question. When you choose the 5 transactions, ask yourself to finish this sentence. I spent that money because I was scared of blank. What I really wanted was blank. My underlying need was for love, security, value, recognition, or status. So if you chose a transaction and it doesn't fit into this category, meaning you didn't spend the money because you were scared of anything, and it was actually something that added to your positive worth, great. Congratulations, right? But if you do find some statements that are depletion, then go ahead and notice that and become aware of where are you spending money that's depleting your own net worth or your self-worth as well. So I'm just going to stop here and just let you play with that for a couple minutes. And let me give you an example, because sometimes we all work better with examples here. So using the example that I just used about myself, I spent that money. So I spent the money on eating out because I was scared. And in my case, it's because I was scared to let go, right, to let go of some of my work so that I can find the time to cook and figure out healthier foods for myself. What I really wanted was time off, right, and rest. And my underlying need was for security, right? It was actually, I was feeling insecure enough that I couldn't let go, right, to order healthy food or to make healthy food. And then to finish this exercise, create three new ways that you can get that need met without creating debt. So for me, three new ways that I could get the need met for needing to relax and take care of myself more might have been that I could take lunches, that I could give more work over to my assistants and my team, which is what I ended up doing, that I could hire more people on my team to take things off my plate, right? And that's actually what I ended up doing when I realized that, is I just started hiring more team, taking things off my plate so that I could have time to take care of myself and to stop depleting my own net worth and my self-worth. So I'm just going to give you about 4 minutes here to think about this for yourself, about how you're adding to your self-worth and how you're depleting your self-worth in terms of your spending. And this is also true. I should stop talking here, but there's more points. a lot of you are caretakers, right? You're really good nurturers. So another way you're depleting your own self and your net worth is that you're spending money on other people or for other people that aren't appreciating you for it. A lot of you may be doing this with family or with friends where you feel responsible for them. You buy them bigger gifts than they need to have. You give them checks that they need, or you're listening to their story when they tell you they don't have enough money for rent or they don't have enough money to go to the doctor, and you're depleting your own self-worth and your value by giving them money. And the way you know this is, it's different for every person, is how you feel, right? So if you look at it and it makes you feel really good that to give that money away and you don't have any regret or doubt or anything later on, then you're adding to your self-worth, right? If you feel any tinge of negativity or sadness or regret or guiltiness after or during, then you're depleting your net worth. So I'm going to go back into interactive here and get some feedback from all of you. Does anyone have, you know, are you noticing anything, any transactions that seem to be depleting your net worth that you're regularly doing? Or things that you just know, you know, you shouldn't be spending money on that you know that you do?
Well, does it have to be money or can it be time too?
It can also be time, yeah. Did you have something around time?
Coaching people, friends, and spending a lot of time on the phone with them, just helping them with their thing.
Absolutely. And Doris, that is money because you are now in a business, right? So mm-hmm. that is money, because the half an hour that you spend coaching that friend, right, could be a half an hour coaching session that you get paid for.
I have that thing with friends, though, and charging them.
Yeah, so maybe you wouldn't charge that person, Doris. You go find someone else, right? But you got to be very protective of your time, right? Because
right,
whether you're working...
Limit my phone time with problem things.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's also because you got to build this business. So time is money at this point in terms of being able to put energy and effort into doing initial sessions with folks and building your marketing structure. Good. Anything else from folks?
Yeah, Monica, this is Larkin. I actually have something I realize that's totally ridiculous that
yes.
I did. I have three magazines that I write for, and they always love my articles. Well, the one magazine, they all three wanted this one article, and I had accidentally just sent the same one to two. And the one that I wanted to put it in for some reason, because they have a lot of people that put in ads, she always picks people that have purchased an ad so that those ad people don't get upset with her.
Yeah.
And so she told me if I wanted to post it that it was going to be $139 for the ad. Well, I let myself get totally roped into it, right? And then
yeah.
I ended up being screwed and not being able to pay my rent. And,
okay.
and so doing this exercise, I was looking through it, and I'm like, that's ridiculous. Why would we make a choice like that? You know what I mean? Like when
yeah.
I had two others that wanted it for free, why would I make that choice? So I thought that was an interesting one that this brought
and Mark,
about.
And did you take that further? So in your exercise, so let's take that a step further here. You spent the money on the ad because you were scared. Scared of what?
I see, and that's just it. I don't know. I guess maybe at that point, I guess I wanted approval from the – I guess there was more worth in being approved by the magazine that wanted me to owe something. And from that,
yeah.
I realized that my worth comes from the fact that I feel that I have got to buy my worth.
Yeah.
I feel more worthy when I have to purchase it. And that's really sad. Like, I was sitting here going, oh, my God, that's so pitiful.
So you spent the money on the ad because you were scared that she would not find you worthy, that she would not, you know, she would not like you anymore.
Well, she even told me that I was. That's the thing. She even told me that she wanted it. But I think for myself, I figured if I paid more, it would be more worth this magazine than being in one that wanted me for free, which is really ironic.
Yeah.
It's the way it is. So.
What you really wanted is to have that article published for free in the two other magazines.
Right.
Right? And it sounds like
remember,
go ahead.
I was just going to say, I know how you always tell us that people put more worth into things when they're not free. And I think that applied to me here. I think because I was going to have to pay for this, I thought it was more valuable, and therefore it would up my value.
Yeah. Interesting. Good.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's just, I also think it's good for you to just recognize, you know, and also recognize the kind of, like, quandaries we get into when we're deciding what to spend our money on. You know? Like how it gets complicated even about what appears to be really simple decisions. You know?
Yeah, it was obvious.
I
knew not to do it.
Yeah. Great. Good, Larkin. Good realization. And then there was another person that had a question. Was that Shanika?
I have a question. Yes?
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so my question is kind of like, you know, like when you grow up in a household and you have to kind of like earn everything, okay, for instance, when your parents teach you how to earn things versus just giving them to you, and then in life you feel like I have to work hard for everything because if I don't work hard for it, then I don't deserve it. But then then it's the mindset that, oh, you do deserve it, you're worth this and that. So, like, how do you find the balance of saying I do deserve something for free or, you know, or I'm used to working hard for everything I get. So, therefore, I have a hard time accepting things that are free.
Interesting. Yeah, that's a really great point. So, okay, so there's – what's interesting there is one part of this is the distinction between effort and struggle, right? So, things do require effort, but they don't have to be a struggle, right? And then in terms of receiving things that are – that you haven't worked for, that's a muscle, Shanika, that again, that's another belief that you're carrying, right, is that if I haven't worked for it, then I can't receive it, right? And so what I would say to you is you need to create more space for you to be able to say to yourself, I am open and able to receive whatever comes to me, as long as it makes me feel good, right? It's that, you know, and I think you're asking, like, well, how do I know I'm supposed to receive it? If it makes you feel good, then receive it, right? And it's not more valuable because you worked hard for it or you didn't work hard for it, right? And this is one of the things, actually, that is really a distinction that is really important to get as you're growing and expanding your business. Because to give you, an even more specific example, Shaniqua, like, I struggled with this when I hired my team, right? There's four people working for me right now, and I will come home sometimes and things will be finished for me, right? Like, my entire sales pages will be written, emails will be ready, everything will be going out. And I will think to myself, because we all carry that belief that if you didn't work for it, can you really receive it? I'll think, oh, my gosh, is this okay, right? Is it okay for me to receive the fact that this is all going to happen, it's going to work, it's going to go out on time, even though I didn't bust my butt to do it, right? And what you have to learn to sink into is that it's not about working hard to get it, right? It's about receiving in whatever form that it comes. Does that make sense, Shaniqua?
Yes, it does.
Okay. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, and the more that you can start to, it's interesting because it also, at where you guys are in terms of your businesses, learning how to receive money that it doesn't seem like you worked super hard for, right, is another thing to really start to play with that, because that's how you're going to increase your value, right, is that you're going to do the exact same things you're doing now and you're going to raise your prices. And for some of you, that's really going to play with your mind for a while, right, because you're carrying the belief that everything has to be equal, right? I have to put in more work if I want to achieve more money, but it doesn't actually work that way. The way it actually works is you work less when you make more money. And that is something, too, to just start to really get used to that concept. Because you have more support, you have more structure, you have more people doing it. It's easier because you have more momentum. You've built an audience. Like, for a number of reasons, it does get easier. And you'll make more and work less. It just takes a little time to get there. Awesome. Good. Any other questions? Or thoughts?
Monica, you're going to go over the monthly necessities later on again, or because to start your own business, then you have all different kinds of things with laptop and websites and mobile phones and space in the house. And do you include haircuts and chiropractor and things like that in there?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, the question. Yeah, so Doris is asking, do you include, your phone and your laptop? Absolutely. Like, that's not going to be monthly necessarily, yeah, because you're not going to buy a new laptop every month, but you can include it as your first month necessity, and then your second month necessity may be lower because you've already bought everything. But, in terms of your haircuts and your chiropractor, absolutely. You want to, if you get a haircut every other month and you want to divide your haircut by half and put it in your necessities budget.
Okay.
And so when I say necessities, I don't mean just necessities for your business. I mean necessities for your life, so that you know that for you to get by in your life and do the things that you need to do, you need $3,000 a month for everything, your business plus your personal life, for everything. So you know what that number is that you need to live on.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Good. Yeah. Any other questions? All right. So I'm going to go back into lecture, and we're going to talk about debt. Some of you have debt and some of you don't, and it's completely fine whatever you have. But, again, I don't want you to leave this program not knowing how to handle it, right, not having a really clear plan on how to handle your debt so that you don't worry about it and it doesn't actually take away from your net worth. Because I know for a lot of people, when you're carrying debt, that large amounts of debt, right, that are, accumulated from past spending, you start to lose your confidence, right, in who you are and your ability to do business and whether you can actually do this or not. It really starts to etch away at who you are. And I don't want that to be the case for you or for any of the clients that you end up working with. Because the first thing that needs to happen with that is that you let go of the shame around it. So I want you to hear that. Let go of the shame around it. Because it is part of your past, not part of your present. So the first step in terms of handling debt is to look at your debt. Get really clear how much debt you have. Also get really clear on how long you'd like to spend paying off that debt. And here's your payoff plan, suggested. Now, I'm not a financial analyst or planner or money manager or anything like that, so this is my suggestions. You can take them or leave them, or if you have other ways that you do this or another method or another person's protocol, you can do that as well. This is just the way that I like to teach it when I have clients that have debt. First, check to see if you can transfer your balances to low or no interest cards. But be careful of balance transfer fees here. So first you should check to see what your, before you even do that, you should check to see what your interest rates are for all of your cards. So I would write down your card, write down your interest rates on all of your cards. Then, you know, if you've got a particular card that has a very high interest, like if you've got an Amex card that's got 28 or 30% interest or 18% interest, that's a pretty high number, and especially if you've got a lot of debt on that card, what you want to do is see if you can transfer that to a low or no interest card. But be careful of the balance transfer fees, because usually there's a 4% or, you know, balance transfer fee in order to transfer it. So you just have to make sure that it's worth it for you to transfer the money to that card. And only use 0% card if you're certain you can pay off the balance in full before the offer expires. So it's usually they give you about 12 months, and just make sure that you put in your plan, in your debt breakthrough plan, exactly how you're going to pay that off. Then pay the minimum on all cards except the lowest balance, which you are paying. Oh, hold on one second. I skipped a step here. Okay, then pay the minimum on all cards until you have 1 month's living expenses saved. Now, the reason for this is way different than most people will tell you, is because 1 month's living expenses is your necessity number or your ideal number, whatever you want. Usually for most people, it's somewhere between $2,000 and $5,000. And that way, you always have money in the bank. You want to save that first because you always want money in the bank in case something happens, right? And it just lets you sleep more peacefully at night. It makes you feel better about yourself. So I would pay the minimum on all the cards until you have 1 month's living expenses saved. Do not keep this money in your regular checking account. Keep it in a savings account. So this money isn't for you to spend. It's for you to have as a security blanket in your savings account. Once you have that, pay the minimum on all cards except the lowest balance, which you are paying off first. Now, the reason I do lowest balance is because I believe that in paying off debt, it's all about momentum. And you want to, and the quicker you pay your cards off, the more momentum you create for yourself. So I like the one with the lowest balance to do first, like the lowest amount of money, because I'm going to pay that off the fastest, and it's going to feel really good to pay that off quickly, and then I'm going to go on to the next one and to the next one, and it's easier to feel like you're more successful. So decide the amount you will pay on your lowest balance card. So write this as your freedom payment on the debt breakthrough plan. So you're going to decide how much money you're going to pay on top of your minimum payment. So you may decide that every month you're going to pay your minimum, which is $50, plus $200 payment towards that card. So you're going to pay $250, right? And then there's a debt breakthrough plan sheet, right? So it's not part of this packet, but it's a separate packet, and you can write that payment on that sheet so you can keep track of what your payment is. And here's the thing, you want to put it on automatic, right? So once you've decided that you're putting $250 towards this card every month, right, you can go ahead and just get it taken out of your account. So you don't have to think about it anymore. Just get it out, taken care out of your account and don't think about it. And then as each balance is paid off, add the payment that you were used to making to the next card. So for example, you were used to making $250 a payment for your first card. Now that card is already paid off. Now you go to the second card, right? And now let's say that card had $2,000 worth of debt on it. You pay that off. The next card has $4,000 worth of debt on it. So you take the $250 and then you add another payment. So maybe now you increase it to, you add another $50. So now your payments are $300 and you make $300 payments until you pay the next one off. Then you go to the third card. Let's say the third card has $2,000 on it. Now you add another $50. So now you're paying $350. And you keep adding payments until you pay off all of your debt. Your basic guideline is to use 10% of your income towards your debt breakthrough plan. So 10% of your income should be going towards your payment. You want to try to renegotiate lower interest rates on credit cards. You may need to make a concession, such as agreeing to an automatic deduction from a checking account, but it is worth it. And you want to chart your progress monthly with the debt breakthrough plan form. Also, you want to use already and all windfall money, such as tax returns, refunds, rebates, reimbursements, pay raises, new incomes to pay off debt. This will greatly accelerate your ability to live free. The exception is gift money, and that should only be spent on you. I believe personally that gift money should be spent on you, like if somebody gives you a gift certificate or whatnot, but that any other windfall money you could put towards paying off this debt. And what's interesting is that that when you do that, it increases your momentum to pay the debt off. It's critical not to feel poor when you're paying your debt. So make sure that you keep watching your debt breakthrough chart to give you inspiration and motivation. And this is all in the debt breakthrough handout. And also give yourself permission to write multiple checks each month to a credit card company. So you could totally just, you know, keep giving money to that card. Let's say you make your $300 payment and then your grandmother sends you, or you get a rebate for $100, right? You could put that towards your credit card that month. You just write that check to them, right? So you just want to keep using the momentum. Put a freeze on loaning money or giving money to others until you are debt-free, even to your kids. Right? So here's the thing. This is a place where you really need to start to uphold your boundaries around your own money. Freeze your credit cards in a block of ice to keep them from using them. Better yet, cut them up. And it's critical to keep saving while you're paying off debt, no matter how small the amount. This adds to your self-worth account, which will accelerate your debt payoff. So I'm going to talk about paying yourself in a moment here, but just remember that you always want to be putting some money towards yourself, somebody towards the debt. Shred credit card offers and pay cash for everything as a way to start living off of debt, your food and whatnot when you're starting to adjust yourself. If investing in education or training and you decide to finance your course by using credit cards, then you must have a realistic income creation plan and debt payoff plan, preferably within 1 to 2 years. This is what we talked about earlier when we talked about spending. Okay, and I want to just get into here general savings tips. So, always pay yourself first. I want to get into this point here. As a business owner, you want to start giving yourself some sort of salary every month. I don't care what it is. Just make sure that you are paying yourself something, right, once the revenue starts coming in. Even $25 is fine. Just get in the habit of paying yourself first, then paying off your debt, and then paying things to others, because it's all about making sure that you keep your self-worth and your confidence high. So everyone, you know, once you all get your first clients and you start to move forward, right, even from your first client, pay yourself some of that money, right? Give yourself $25 or $50 or $100 from that money, so that you understand that you're adding to your own self-worth. And then another quick savings tip that I always like to tell people is by using buckets for various savings accounts. So you could do this with either your business checking account or your personal checking account. what I do is I open savings accounts and I nickname them. So, for example, I have an account that I use for charity. I have an account that I use for vacations. I have an account that I use for money owed to others. And it's simply buckets of savings accounts that you can put different amounts of money in as you begin to save for certain things, right? So if you do say to yourself, oh, my gosh, I'd really like to go on a week vacation to Europe this summer, and the way I'm going to do that is I'm going to save $100 every month to do that. What you could do is create a savings account. You just open up savings account. You can open up as many savings accounts that are attached to your checking account as you want. Nickname that savings account vacation. And then go ahead and put $100, $150 in there every time in order to be, and then eventually you'll be able to have enough money in there to be able to go on your vacation. Okay, so I just want to stop there and go into questions. Anyone have questions on saving?
I have a question.
Yes, go ahead.
Okay. I like what you said that your debt is your past.
Yes.
Because, you know, once upon a time I had a job and spiritually I just felt like the job was taking too much out of me and I just left. And I took a whole year off, call it what you want, depression, you know, just taking myself out of the picture, off the face of the earth. So I kind of say, oh, I fell off the planet for a year just to figure out what I wanted to do with myself. And so, therefore, I didn't pay any bills within that year, and my credit totally went down. And, you know, I was a person that once used to have a very high credit score, but so now that I'm running my business, I still have all of those old bills, but I'm just looking forward. So all the new bills I've created, I pay those. All the old bills and collections and all that stuff that's behind me, they're still there, but I just have them in the folder, and it's the idea that at some point, you know, I've been told to file bankruptcy. There's other people that have done it who say, you know, oh, you can rebuild, it's fine, it's what rich people do all the time, you should go for it, you know, so I've kind of been in limbo with that for maybe a year or two now, and I just wanted to know maybe what your thoughts are on bankruptcy.
Interesting question. My thoughts on bankruptcy. Okay, so here's what I think. I'm not an expert on what that does to your credit or what you need to do to go through that. My suggestion for you, Shaniqua, is that you get out of avoidance about all that stuff that's in the folder, get your cards out, and make a payoff plan, where you start to address, you know, follow all the steps that I just talked about, right, and start to pay off
how much it is.
Yeah. And I can't speak to you about whether you should file bankruptcy or not, because it's just not my area of expertise, nor am I in a place to be able to recommend that. But I can say to you that, do I think you can pay it off? Absolutely. And there are other solutions for large amounts of debt. So one of the other solutions is a lot of the banks will pay off all of your debt and then give you a loan at a low interest rate. So all you're doing is paying off that loan. And even if it takes you like 3 years or 4 years or 5 years, that is one option, right, that I've heard of people doing. The other option that you could go to are credit agencies. Debt agencies that will consolidate your debt, they'll pay it off, they'll talk to all your credit card companies, and then they'll make it one payment, and then you pay them every month, right? There's a name for them, they're like credit card debt agencies. And I know that there's some ramifications to your credit rating, right, when you do either of those things. But I know a lot of people who have done both of them, and if you're looking for a way to get it out of your mind, right, and, like, not worry about it, those are other options if you've got a large amount of debt, and then literally just put it on automatic. right? You have the credit agency help you. They tell you, okay, your payment is $350 a month. You put that on automatic. And then, you know, and even if it takes you 3 or 4 years, you just don't think about it until you can think about it again, until you actually start making enough money that you may be able to send larger payments. That's another option for you to deal with it.
Okay.
Yeah. Great.
Shimonda?
Good. Yes.
This is Larkin. I just wanted to say to Shaniqua, I was in her exact same situation for 3 years. So I'd be happy to share with her all the research I did on my ways of getting out of that as well. So she can talk to you about that
wonderful.
If she wants.
Yep. It's
Larkin. I'll be calling you after.
Larkin's last name is Larkin Sal, and I believe she's in the forum as well, Shaniqua, so you guys can connect with each other.
Thank you.
About that, because she can help you. Good. Any other, you know, and it's really good for you, Shaniqua, to just to like bring it up and ask about it. Like that's a really good thing to do, because if you're going to be a responsible business owner, right, if you're going to influence other people in running their businesses, you want to have integrity with your own money, right, and the way you're dealing with it. And it doesn't mean you have any shame. It just means take control, know what the plan is, get clarity, and then move on. Yeah? Good. All right, other questions? Yes.
It's Kate. I have a question. Is the ultimate goal to pay off your mortgage as well?
Interesting question. Things like mortgage and student loans, great question. Like, when should you pay those off? If it's a really low interest rate on your mortgage or, like, on student loans or whatnot, I don't, you know, people have mixed emotions as to, like, whether you should pay those things off, because a lot of people will tell you it doesn't make sense to pay them off because the interest rates are so low that, you know, you could use the money to actually make more money. So what I would say is, as long as it's a low interest rate, go ahead and pay whatever payments you want on a student loan or on a mortgage. And then you decide for yourself if down the road you'd like to pay your mortgage off once you're making more money and you're feeling really comfortable in your life. Great. If you want to pay it off, pay it off. But I would first take, like in terms of a mortgage, I would first take care of yourself. You know what I mean? And use the money to make sure your personal debt is paid off, that you're treating yourself really well, that you're living well, before you worry about trying to pay off your mortgage.
Okay.
Great. Good. Other questions?
I have a brief question about buckets. I've not heard of buckets for savings accounts.
Yeah, it's for a lot of people, it's a new concept. Is this Elizabeth? Was that your voice?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Okay. Elizabeth, do you check your bank account online?
Uh-huh.
Okay, so online, you can pretty easily make new savings accounts. You can literally just open new savings accounts under your checking account. And then a lot of banks also let you nickname the savings account. So you can actually name the account a word. And then you just move money from your checking into your particular bucket for savings. So I have a bucket that I call Financial Freedom. And in that bucket is I just put money in there that I don't plan on touching, right? And I have a charity bucket. I also have a bucket for money owed to others. So if I get money in for a particular client or whatever and I know it's not my money, I'll immediately put it in someone else's bucket so it doesn't stay in the checking account and I can start to allot money for different things. It's a great way to really manage how your money's coming
in
and how you want to save it. And you could do buckets for your business account, too. Eventually, down the road, you guys might want to open a business bank account. And in the business bank account, you can have different buckets for different things that you're spending on your business as well.
Mm-hmm. That's great. Thank you.
Great. Good. Any other questions? Okay. Good. All right. So here's what I'm going to do. I want our 3 o'clock call to be recorded separately. So what I'm going to do is just give everybody a 7-minute break here and go ahead and take a break, do what you need to do, and then come back at 3 o'clock and we're going to start to talk about how money loves to be accumulated. So this part at 3 o'clock is we're going to get into your valuing yourself, getting clear on your prices and programs, and introducing premium prices and programs into what you're doing. So I will talk to you all again at 3 o'clock. Thank you.